Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you like weird and strange history as much as I do, then I have the podcast for you. I'm Jason Horton, host of Strange Year. Each episode, I break down the strange history and cultural happenings during that year, like 1977, the Wow Signal, 1963, Three Tramps Theory, 1844, the Millerite Movement, 1997, the Phoenix Lights, 1896, the Shortest War, 2004, Benjamin Kyle, 1518, the Dancing Plague, 1985, the Move Bombing, 1972, Remote Viewing. So to get your weekly weird history fix, pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Strange Year wherever you listen to podcasts.
This crime is anything but organized. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
When we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much, at least not yet. In any case, I think that Kelly entered here, Richard. A legend, a half century old or so, has been resolved. I don't know if we've gone far enough. I mean, we found the other wall over there. There may be more to be discovered, maybe, maybe not. We found the secret tunnel. We found the hidden stairways. We found the other private spaces. We talked to a lot of people, you know, older people whose memories I think would have otherwise been forever lost if it wasn't for this program. It seems, at least up to now, that we've struck out with the vault. I'm disappointed about that, as I'm sure you are. This is one time in my life that a pot of gold would have been a lot more fun than chasing the rainbow.
On April 21st, 1986, 30 million people watched The Mystery of Al Capone's Vault, hosted by Geraldo Rivera, live. Opening of a secret vault in the Lexington Hotel in Chicago, once owned by crime boss Alphonse Capone.
Da, da, da.
Do you remember? You remember this? We were talking about this.
Yes. I know a little bit about this, but I was very young at the time.
I was very 48.
You were very 48, extremely in your 48s. Understood. But Geraldo Rivera, at that time, especially, like, my parents watched, like, religious watching of this person, trusted person, trusted journalist, and still is to this day, honestly, maintains a pretty good reputation.
Geraldo Rivera?
Yeah. Am I wrong?
I mean, he's got opinions. Are you familiar with his very conservative opinions?
No.
Oh.
Wait.
Geraldo Rivera, yeah.
I need the update then.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were joking.
I feel like I dropped off then.
No, he's like
at some point something happened and we don't trust him anymore. So
yeah, he's a.
I'll see myself out.
He is a. Yeah, you know.
He's a conservative.
He's a conservative.
He's a.
Although he does. There are times where, you know, when somebody who is traditionally conservative.
When did this happen?
The last couple of years.
Just very recently.
I'd say, yeah, the last maybe 10 years or so. Maybe,
I had a lot to process here.
I mean, there's not really much to keep up with because he just will show up and, you know.
And just like spout crazy. It's like, what's the comedian, Dennis Miller?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Not like crazy conservative. He's like, oh, you used to like not be this insane.
Yeah.
You think we'll become conservative?
I don't know. You're saying how much you love Geraldo Rivera. I'm not really sure.
No, no. I'm just processing this new information.
But I will say this, just in fairness, that he is also somebody that will say something on the contrary of what a standard conservative would say, and people will be like, I can't believe I agree with Geraldo Rivera.
Whoa.
So it's...
God, yeah, I gotta do some serious Googling after we finish recording this.
You look on Twitter, you know, there's always
Oh,
something.
Boy.
But he, I think he's always been a very kind of in-your-face type of journalist. And I will say, even though this is a fail, and it is a fail, most people know that it's a fail, but it was extremely successful and really pioneered reality documentary. This is something that would easily be like on MTV if it was, you know, 30 years later.
It'd have like cool neon lower thirds and stuff and like rock music playing while it was like
some
going
band
through.
Where it was like, who is this like, band?
What's happening?
Stop
and like,
pushing
it's like,
this band.
The camera's like,
even though like this was always known to be a failure, I was always like, yeah, but it was kind of successful as far as the marketing,
the spin,
the build up. Oh yeah, I mean there was
spin
so much.
City, baby.
It was built up like the way they'd build up a like a, you know, the Super Bowl, and they were really great. This is back in like 1986, and it was, you know, they were, we'll find it was a lot of competition with other television because, you know, television is kind of like, how do we compete? How do you compete with the Cosby Show?
Yeah,
you know, or shows like that. You really can't, and you need. It's a lot of sensationalizing.
Totally.
And in fairness, Geraldo Rivera didn't know. It's not like he was like, I'm going to go in the vault and then shovel it all back in.
Yeah.
He had no idea. It didn't go well, so he looked foolish. But to a lot of people, if eyes were on the television, it was a success.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, again, and by a lot of metrics, I think a lot of our fails could be considered successes in one way or another. That's kind of why we decided to start doing this, because a lot of what we talked about in our primary Ghost Town episodes were fails in a legendary way.
Yeah, these are a little more cultural, pop, a lot of pop culture. But yeah, like what is a fail? Like something could be a fail back then, but turn out, you know, there's movies.
Cult and classics.
There's movies and music that people were like, we didn't like when it came out. Didn't sell any albums. And then it be, you know, then it's on everyone's.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like $20,000 for a record or something. This kind of thing. God, Geraldo. All right. Still processing. Tell me more.
So the producers, John Jocelyn, Doug Llewellyn, from his People's Court. He heard that Al Capone's old home base, Chicago's Lexington Hotel.
Yeah.
This is where you'd have been like, so I grew up in the Midwest. So
Jason,
I'm giving you that right now. No,
has
that's
the
fair.
It's luxury of editing these podcasts for the most part and gets to hear my voice and its horrible repeated pattern just over and over and over. Do you have like fever dreams about my cadence?
No, but I know. I know what you're going to, I know when you're, like, I know what you're going to do before you do it when I hear it. Because I can hear it. And I can look at the little waves.
Exactly. You know when I'm winding up and when I'm winding down. I'm mostly winding down.
Mostly winding down.
Sometimes I wind up, but mostly down.
Or when, you know, we stop and, you know, repeat something.
Stop and repeat something. Take a breath. Turn a page. Creak a chair. Eat some peanuts.
I mean, before we were starting this, I was literally turning the thing on. She grabs peanuts. From like a low grade like
it's a shopping bag. You go to the farmer's market, they give you a shopping bag.
This little thin shopping bag makes so much noise, and the peanuts you have to break the shell.
Yeah, you gotta get in there like a little squirrel. I like working for it. I like crab legs and peanuts for the same reason. You gotta get in there to get the meat, like Al Capone's walls.
Well, there's probably about you're gonna find there's probably about the same amount. The vault was hidden under the Lexington where Al Capone ran his criminal operations until his arrest in 1931. And in the 1980s, construction crews found tunnels connected to taverns and brothels.
Yeah, that's all under the Midwest. And I'm from the Midwest.
So I'm from the Midwest. That's going to be, if you have a t-shirt, it's going to be so I'm from the Midwest and a crude drawing of your
Could
face.
Could I be any lamer? Could I be any more predictable? I'm just boring. I'm just a boring Midwestern woman from the Midwest.
Especially when we're not really reading mostly from scripts. It's like you could really say anything, but it's still the same.
No, it's still the same. It doesn't even matter. But that's there's so many tunnels and things under, especially Chicago to Milwaukee, Ohio, all over the place. It's huge.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So and in fairness, it's very exciting. We talked about the Philadelphia, Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia,
we
where
did.
Al Capone was.
Was.
But there's, when you go there, there's a little side thing of Al Capone in another episode. There's two cells next to each other. One cell is kind of a very plain cell, and one is dressed the way Al Capone had it, which is like a little bit more opulent.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows which one he stayed in.
What?
It was either the one or the one next to it.
This is might be the most interesting thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
So like one of them was like Liberace style, like yes. Nice, flashy, like, you know, like dark woods.
And
nice
one
things.
is just very bare bones.
Very.
But they dress one up and not the other, but they don't know if it was one on the left or the right.
Oh.
So
they just don't.
Yeah. And
Never know.
And I remember like, I was like, it's wasn't that long ago. I mean, yeah. I'm sure you had to have some
that
records
always
or photos.
Surprises me yeah. when it's like, it wasn't like. If we have the responsibility of relaying history that's from like thousands of years ago, we can't even get like fucking 100 years ago right. What are we doing here?
So I thought that was very interesting. So I just had to like stare at both of them,
yeah.
equal amount,
and you had to
try
visualize back and forth.
But they only dress one of them up. So if you go to Eastern State Penitentiary, look into it. So they were excited about the possibility of finding obviously human remains.
Yeah.
They had forensic examiners standing by, ready
standing
to check them
by.
Out. Let's see who we're going to unearth. Obviously money.
Mm-hmm.
Treasure chest full of money and
like
gold.
Indiana Jones style, sarcophagi, amphorae.
And who was there ready for that? The IRS. Looking to
collect. Oh, yeah. Salivating from their IRS mouths.
So Jocelyn and Llewellyn proposed a live broadcast around the demolition of the wall because...
What could go wrong?
If they pre-taped it... then the contents would be well known and it wouldn't be a surprise. Like, well, we already know it's either nothing or you found two bones in it or something like that. So when they were excavating it, they found nothing. Those dirt, some empty bottles.
Those empty bottles. Appraise them.
Rivera hosted what amounted to a remedial documentary about gangsters and prohibition. Vintage clips and photos with interviews with historians capped off by a few minutes at the end where he admitted he wasted everyone's time. He owned up to it.
Wow.
So, I mean...
That's... I don't know. That sounds like such an interesting thing to watch, though, too, in its own way.
It's like tuning in to, you know, watch the funeral of JFK or something like that. It's like a big... Watching them, you know, Neil Armstrong on the moon. It was...
But it's like watching them not land on the moon. You know, it's like watching... The funeral of JFK, but like there's no body.
Yeah.
Like it's the sort of thing where like people are like, oh, okay. But that's, I mean, you don't get to see exceptional fails like that on TV and people scrambling on live TV to try to figure it out.
Let me ask you, have you ever gotten ready to go out like with your friends? Like we're going to go out and you had more fun getting ready to go out. And once you got there, you're like,
that's most
I
of the time I go out.
I feel like there's and this is just something I was thinking about. I mean, it's true or not, but it's that. Getting there, the excitement, the build-up.
Yeah, what's
going to
happen?
Once you're there, does it? When you get there, does it ever live up to the journey there?
No.
Like, we talk about like unsolved mysteries. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like who did the murder? What happened to this person? I think there's part of me, or maybe part of us, that we don't want to know that because once you know that, the story is over.
Well, that's like a lot of studies I have found working on this vaguely scientific show. What is more powerful to us is the possibility versus the reality. And that's in a lot of different things. That's in like power. It's in anticipating like what we're about to eat. It's in dating. Like it's across so many different realms of our experience. And that kind of sucks in a way because it's like, we don't really appreciate that until after the fact. And we're like, oh, that was like more fun. And now we're out in this like lame party, like trying to talk to people and like get too drunk and then just ride home and like spill something on my fake jacket, you know?
Well, it's a real jacket, but the
it's fake no, it's leather. Fake. It's a fake jacket. It's not a real jacket. It's a hoodie.
That's a garbage can lid. It's not a jacket. Oh, yeah. I call it a jacket.
Those are the garbage can lid was my hat.
Okay. So the reviews, not good.
No,
New York Daily News was appalled by the romanticism of the mystery of Al Capone's vault, saying Rivera's cheerleader tone was incongruous with the violent subject. Disturbing was the tendency to glamorize the gangster, who's known as Scarface and public enemy number one. Rivera described him as charming and generous at one point, but quickly added he was a mass murderer of his time. This person, I was like, listen, when true crime podcasts and documentaries come out, wow, you are going to be
You're on the wrong side of history, baby.
Yeah, I was like, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
So in a sense, like, I want to, you know, want to give credit where credit's due. Like, you know, Rivera was kind of pioneer. Like, I don't know. It's a kind of a pioneer.
It's an exciting idea. I don't think I've ever watched this. It makes me want to watch it. It makes me want to experience this uncomfortable expose.
In Mental Floss, former Tribune Entertainment vice president Alan Grafman says that everyone at the company was pleasantly surprised when they saw the share of sets in use the next morning. The metric, I guess. We thought it would do a 20. It did a 35. I guess.
Yeah.
20 million, 35 million. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was an enormous, colossal success. Nationally, we outperformed the networks. The Cosby Show, Family Ties, whoa, which is, that's who they're competing with.
Yeah.
The show played later on the West Coast, and that was amazing. Even though the news was out, it still got phenomenal ratings. So, but again, you know, there's no Twitter, to, you know, or anything mm-hmm. to really update it. So unless somebody's like, hey, Jay, what happened? You know, that probably wouldn't have happened. With cable subscriptions on the rise, over-the-air broadcasters were looking to compete, and sensationalism was one of those ways, and that has not...
No, not gone
up,
away.
Up, 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 up.
Yeah, this is
the amount of reality
boring.
TV, the amount of the way things are, everything's an event.
Yeah, exactly. Even news and the blurred lines between broadcasts like this, podcasts, you know, reality TV. Yeah, it's like, it's all like a, just a it's tremendous
yeah, I
mess.
Mean, it really pioneered like that hype machine, which mm-hmm. I got to give credit. For a long time, the perception of television was that it was already catered to the lowest common denominator, and the best way to offer a true alternative to that market was to skew more highbrow. But the 80s saw the rise of trashy daytime talk from Jenny Jones.
Oh, definitely.
Phil
and that continued into the 90s. I remember going to a Jerry Springer taping in Chicago. We were in the front row because we were the youngest people there by far. And it was a tiny studio audience. College roommate, her name was Lacey Summer, which everyone was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
She was great. She's a doctor now, so in Philadelphia.
What kind of doctor?
Dermatologist.
Oh, I felt like,
yeah.
Like a bad doctor.
Like a bad doctor? She's like, actually a very capable doctor.
No, like she got sued for malpractice.
She would never, although she probably is insured for that. But yeah, we were in the front row of, we were 20, probably 20 years old, maybe 19. I was probably like 19 at that point. We're in the front row of Jerry Springer, next to his bodyguard, who I forget his name was. We had this like, and it was so, I couldn't recognize it at the time, but it was so scripted and like actory. But we were just excited to be there. And Jerry Springer would always like come over to us and be like, hey, you having fun? Like, doing great. Awesome. Can you like scream louder? Like, they'd like coach us. And it was just like this frenzy. It was probably my first experience with like.
Your first acting experience.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. My first method acting experience, being a Jerry Springer fan, getting into character, drinking a lot of Everclear beforehand, driving my parents down to Chicago from Madison. Truly life-changing. But that hype machine, especially at that time, I mean, it carried through to even now. And I want to watch this.
I want to thank AV Club, Washington Examiner, Mental Floss, and Geraldo Rivera.
Wow.
Your hero.
My hero.
Are you a true crime addict? Do you find yourself talking serial killers and missing persons at parties only to be met with uncomfortable smiles? Well, find your tribe on True Crime Snack Time, a daily podcast that gives you a little true crime snack to chew on. From January 1st to December 31st, you'll find out what happened on this day in true crime. Short, sweet, and chock full of crime, join me, Allison, on True Crime Snack Time. We're available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Follow True Crime Snack Time on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Crime Snack Pod. And remember, keep your friends close and your snacks closer.